Tamuchur Brahmanastushta.
Tamuchur Brahmanastushta.
Tam uchur brahmanastushta.
Tam uchur brahmanastushta.
Rajanam prashrayanvitam.
Rajanam prashrayanvitam.
Rajanam prashrayanvitam.
Rajanam prashrayanvitam.
Esha hi asmin prajatanto.
Esha hi asmin prajatanto.
Esha hi asmin prajatanto.
Esha hi asmin prajatanto.
Puranam Pauravarshabha.
Puranam Pauravarshabha.
Puranam Pauravarshabha.
Puranam Pauravarshabha.
Tam.
Tam.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Uchuhu.
Uchuhu.
Addressed.
Addressed.
Brahmanaha.
Brahmanaha.
The learned Brahmanas. Tushtaha.
Tushtaha.
Very much satisfied.
Very much satisfied.
Rajanam.
Rajanam.
Unto the king.
Unto the king.
Prashraya anvitam.
Prashraya anvitam.
Very much obliging.
Very much obliging.
Eshaha.
Eshaha.
This.
This.
He.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Asmin.
Asmin.
In the chain of.
Prajatanto,
descending line. Purunam, of the Purus. Paurava Rishabha, the chief among the Purus. Translation. The learned Brahmins, who were very satisfied with the charities of the king, addressed him as the chief amongst the Purus, and informed him that his son was certainly in the line of descent from the Purus. Text 16. Davina pratighatena shukle sangstam upeyushi ratovo nugrahartaya vishnuna prabhavishnuna. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahman said, "This spotless son has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. He was saved when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon." Report. The child Parikshit was saved by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Vishnu, Lord Krishna, for two reasons. The first reason is that the child in the womb of his mother was spotless due to his being a pure devotee of the Lord. The second reason is that the child was the only surviving male descendant of Puru, the pious forefather of the virtuous King Yudhishthir. The Lord wants to continue the line of pious kings to rule over the earth as his representatives for the actual progress of a peaceful and prosperous life. After the battle of Kurukshetra, even up to the next generation of Maharaj Yudhishthir was annihilated, and there were none who could generate another son in the great royal family. Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, was the only surviving heir apparent in the family. And by the irresistible supernatural Brahmastra weapon of Ashwatthama, he was forced to be annihilated. Lord Krishna is described herein as Vishnu, and this is also significant. Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, does the work of protection and annihilation in his capacity of Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The all-pervasive activities of the Lord are executed by him in his Vishnu feature. Child Parikshit is described here as spotlessly white because he is an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Such unalloyed devotees of the Lord appear on the earth just to execute the mission of the Lord. The Lord desires the conditioned souls hovering in the material creation to be reclaimed, to go back home, back to Godhead. And thus he helps them by preparing the transcendental literatures like the Vedas, by sending missionaries of saints and sages, and by deputing his representative, the spiritual master. Such transcendental literatures, missionaries and representatives of the Lord are spotlessly white because the contamination of the material qualities cannot even touch them. They are always protected by the Lord when they are threatened with annihilation. Such foolish threats are made by the gross materialists. The Brahmastra which was thrown by Ashwatthama at the child Parikshit was certainly supernaturally powerful, and nothing of the material world could resist its force of penetration. But the all-powerful Lord, who is present everywhere, within and without, could counteract it by his all-powerful potency, just to save a bona fide servant of the Lord and descendant of another devotee, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was always obliged by the Lord by his causeless mercy. The learned Brahmins, who were very satisfied with the charities of the king, addressed him as the chief amongst the Purus and informed him that his son was certainly in the line of descendants from the Purus. The Brahmin said, "The spotless son has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. He was saved when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon." Om Magyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Se Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Grim Yat Kripadam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Vanchakal Tatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Very grateful to be back here. The Lotus Feet, Shri Shri Radha Vallabh, Jagannath Baladev Subhadevi, Shri Shri Gauri Thai, Srila Prabhupada, the assembled devotees. In this holy place, Melbourne Dham, where Srila Prabhupada performed his pastimes and is still performing his pastimes today. We are on pilgrimage, visiting holy places and holy people. We're very fortunate to have here His Grace Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu, senior and very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And I feel like I'm in Vrindavan, because every time I see him, I'm in Vrindavan. So, thank you for being here. Please bless us. You can say something meaningful on Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. The Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, and thus it is very dear to the devotees. There are so many other Vedic scriptures which explain the different processes of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. But when Vyasadeva had compiled them, he was not satisfied. So by the instruction of his guru, Narada Muni, he took upon himself the task of writing Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would collect the quintessence, all the topics that were related to Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees, and he combined them in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect literature. So here in this chapter, the birth of Emperor Parikshit is described. Parikshit is the personality because of whom Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, which we will hear about starting from second canto. But this is the introduction of the topic and the introduction of the characters, the main actors. In every drama, there is a certain methodology. There is a certain, in a proper drama. We know in this world different types of drama, but we're not speaking about those dramas. We're speaking here about the proper drama. There's a Vedic methodology how the actors, the topic, and all the different components of this play are being introduced. So, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect literature, this is done in a perfect way. So here, one of the main actors, one of the main players in this event is being introduced, Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was a direct descendant of the Pandavas. He's the grandson of Arjuna, son of Abhimanyu. And he was the only surviving heir of the Battle of Kurukshetra. We hear in the purport that Srila Prabhupada states that nobody was capable of producing any more offspring. Now you might question, how come, how so? A man can produce offspring, you know, till his ripe old age, like we know from the story of sixth canto, Ajamir. He was having young boy when he was 80 plus years old. So there is no difficulty from a material point of view. But because they were Kshatriyas, to follow Dharma was their first and foremost principle in life. So there was no question of them again procreating when their sons already had children. There's no question of that. It is not like nowadays where people think, okay, three strikes and you're out, right? So people think like, okay, first time didn't work, so second time maybe better. Third time, okay, now I've learned my lessons, now most likely it will be more better. But that is not the Vedic methodology. The Vedic system is very scientific, and these Kshatriyas, these kings, they were abiding by Dharma. They would rather give up their life than to transgress the rules of Dharma. So there was no question of the Pandavas having other issue, because their grandson was already about to take birth. So Krishna, he saved Maharaj Parikshit in the womb of his mother Uttara, and he appeared to fight off the Brahmastra, the atomic weapon, nuclear weapon, which was released by Ashwatthama, the son of Drona, to destroy the last heir of the Pandava dynasty. But Krishna protected him. He was going around with his chakra and his gada, and he was fighting off that destroying influence. And it is stated in the Shastra that even though Maharaj Parikshit's body was already influenced, it was already practically destroyed, but Krishna restored his body just to protect his devotee. Kanteya pratijani hina me bhakta pranashati. Krishna tells Arjuna, you declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish. So Krishna, sometimes he breaks his promise because he's God. He makes the rules so he can break the rules. But when his devotee makes a proclamation, Krishna makes sure that it comes true, because he never wants the word of his pure devotee to go in vain. So he said, Arjuna, you declare it that my devotee will never perish, because people may not trust me or believe me so much, because Krishna is known as tricky fellow. I was just speaking to my friend who picked me up yesterday from the airport that many parts of India, people are quite apprehensive of worshipping Krishna. They think that as soon as Krishna plays the flute, everything will be destroyed. Everything will be taken away from you. Now the devotees are very happy about this fact, that when Krishna plays the flute, that all the material attachments and all the material obstructions and conditionings, they will just go far away. That's why the acharyas say that if you're still attached to home, family, relatives, business and life in this material world, don't go to the bank of Jamuna, where Krishna is standing in threefold bending form. Thank you. And is playing his flute and attracting and mesmerizing the hearts of all living entities, because your life will never be the same. And as we have all experienced, you come to the Hare Krishna temple and you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then, for the most part, people try to go back to their materialistic, to their normal ways. But there is normal ways, because things just don't taste the same. They don't feel the same. They don't make that much sense. Material life just ceases to be that interesting and that attractive. And sometimes people become a little upset, you know, because this Hare Krishna movement is ruining the materialistic civilization. That is exactly the purpose of this Hare Krishna movement. Not because we are jealous or we are malicious, but because actually people are just wasting their time. We were out yesterday for a short time on Swanson, and Friday night is the big night where everybody goes to town to think that now comes the fruit, the fall, the fruit of my weekly hard labor.
I can go out and enjoy.
But we were looking around and I did not see any happy faces. It was just hard struggle, very hard struggle, for trying to pretend to be happy. And that's really terrible. Because you know that you're pretending. And it's hard work to pretend. And it's just not a good thing to do. But still, because of lack of alternatives, because of a lack of other opportunities, people are engaging in very sinful activities, in very detrimental activities, just because they don't know any better. They are not educated in a better way. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully how Krishna is interested in establishing the principles of Dharma through his religious kings. Yadha yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. And he himself personally appears and through his pure devotees who are disseminating this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's why Maharaj Parikshit, he's spotless, he's pure, he's immaculate, white. That doesn't mean that his skin color has to be white. It means his heart is white. His personality is white. Shukla. So, Maharaj Parikshit was always examining, he was always looking out, where is Krishna? Because in the womb of his mother, he already had darshan of Krishna. So when he took birth, he was just going around, even as a little child, looking everywhere. Okay, where is that person? That special effulgent person that I saw in the womb of my mother. So that's why he was called Parikshit, the examiner, the one who is examining. So in the same way, we should also examine. A devotee is always introspective. We should examine, what is the essence? Is Krishna present in my life? Do I have Krishna's darshan? Do I engage in Krishna seva, in service to Krishna? It's like this morning, my dear friend and mentor Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu came up to me and he was asking me a very important question. Are you chanting the pure name? And I had to admit, no, because I was absent-minded. And you know what happens when you're absent-minded? Immediately you feel sleepy. As soon as we divert from Krishna, we feel sleepy. Because it becomes very boring. And if something becomes boring, you feel sleepy. Start thinking other things or in that way. So we have to always bring our attention, our focus back to Krishna. We cannot wander off. Otherwise, this is the root cause of all evil. Inattention is the root cause for all other offenses. So Parikshit, he was very attentive because he wanted to see, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? That was his interest. And that's why when he got the news about his impending death by a snake bite, he accepted it graciously. And he was very happy actually. And he sat on the Ganges and he would just fast till death. And then Shukadeva Goswami appeared and he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to him. So, today is the disappearance day of Srila Haridas Thakur, who is another illustrious, pure devotee of Krishna. He's Namacharya, the Acharya of the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now, Srila Haridas Thakur is also called Brahma Haridas because he is none other than Lord Brahma, who has taken birth in a lowly family of Mohammedans. And that is quite significant, because anybody who wants to say, oh, you have to be born in this family or that family, or what did your father work and where did your grandmother go to church, then Brahma Haridas, he was born in a Mohammedan family, which is not even part of the Varnashram Dharma. And he was known as the Acharya, the teacher of the holy name of chanting of Hare Krishna. This is the Yuga Dharma, the process for self-realization in this age of Kali. And he is the head priest, the chief of that process for this age. So, Srila Haridas Thakur, when he was young, he was rejected by his community because he had taken to a different ways, to a different lifestyle. He was continuously chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And at that time, 500 years ago, the Muslims were ruling major parts of India. So the Qazi, he was very disturbed by this. He said that if you do not give up these ways, then we will have to kill you. They brought him to the court. And he said that you can take my body and you can chop it up in thousands of pieces. But every piece will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I will not give up chanting Hare Krishna. So, upon which they became very upset and angry, and he was sentenced to be caned in 22 marketplaces till death. Now usually a mortal, a normal, ordinary human being cannot survive caning for more than 3 or 4 marketplaces. You've been in marketplaces here and also in India. Marketplaces is quite big. So what they do is they line up people with canes and a person has to go through and they all beat him. They all beat him. So usually a person by 2 or 3 marketplaces is dead. But he was going through 22 marketplaces, being severely beaten. But he was still alive and smiling and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And looking with so much compassion upon his tormentors. Now his tormentors, they became very desperate. They said, look. And he said, my dear sirs, you seem to be in difficulty. He was saying to his tormentors, you seem to be in difficulty. What seems to be the problem? And they said, look, if you don't die, the Qazi will kill us. So he said, oh, you want me to die? I can do that. That's not a problem. Just watch how I'll die. And he just went into Mahabhav. He just went into trance. And he lay lifeless on the ground. So they brought him before the Qazi. And then they said, okay, let's bury him. And they said, no. If you bury him like a proper Muslim, he will get liberation. No. And so we'll just throw him into the Ganges. So they picked him up and they threw him into the Ganges. And his body was floating off. And after some time, he regained consciousness. And he swam to the shore. And he walked off chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the Qazi and his people, they realized, this person is not an ordinary person. We cannot, this person is not under the jurisdiction, not under our jurisdiction and not under the jurisdiction of the material energy. In fact, Haridas Thakur was tested. He was chanting every day 3 lakhs of name, which means 196 rounds. 92, thank you. 192 rounds. Now, how many of you have chanted 64 rounds yet? You don't have to show your hands, you know. You can just remember your struggles for chanting 64 rounds. So that is 3 times that in one day. Which practically means you chant and you chant and you chant some more. And then you chant. And there is nothing else. That's the menu. That's the agenda for today, is chanting Hare Krishna. Now for us it is quite inconceivable because our taste for chanting Krishna's name has not yet been fully manifested. Because we're still in the clearing stage. There is still offenses, there is still inattention. But he was chanting every day 3 lakhs of Naam. So he was sitting, usually in a cave, because people who are serious about spiritual life don't want to have, you know, ocean view apartment. They don't want to sit on the shoreside and be seen by everybody. They want to just focus on the holy name. So he was fully absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, and usually chanting in caves. Now, sometimes he was once in a cave which was also inhabited by a very big poisonous snake, a huge snake. And the people who were visiting him to take his darshan, they became very disturbed. They felt frightened and fearful, and also the fumes of the snake were kind of poisonous, so they got very upset. So they said, Haridas, why don't you go to some other place? This place is not a very nice place. But he said, any place is okay place, you know? I have first class cave here. And I don't mind that this snake is here, you know, because usually when snake is there, most of the unwanted elements are not going to come and visit. So, but they were very frightened. When he saw that they were fearful, he said, okay, tomorrow I will leave this place. I will go to a different place. But then as he said that, that snake came out of its hole and it just slithered away. And it was a huge yellow snake with bright black markings and red dots. It looked very ferocious. But because Krishna is in the heart of every living entity, when Haridas Thakur said, okay, I will leave this place, it's okay, let the snake stay. I can go somewhere else. Usually we don't want to be inconvenienced. We think that anything we can do to get convenience in our life has to be done, because number one has to be comfortable. But Haridas Thakur, he was simply trying to give pleasure to Krishna by chanting his holy name. He did not even want to inconvenience that snake. So he said, let me leave this place. So then Krishna in the heart told the snake, okay, chalo, you go. So he went. Other times he was chanting in another place, and the Qazi, he sent a young, very beautiful prostitute to allure Haridas Thakur. Now, he was a young man, he was very handsome. Ramachandra Khan, yes. Not the Qazi, thank you. Ramachandra Khan, who was very envious, he conspired and he sent young, beautiful prostitute to allure Haridas Thakur. And she came and she sat down and she listened, and she gave him so many sweet words of praise. She said, oh, young man, you're so handsome. I cannot resist you. Why don't you enjoy with me? And he said, yes, yes, no problem. We will do that. But I have my vow. And as soon as I finish my vow, I will certainly satisfy all your desires. So she sat in the doorway and she was listening while he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But he never finished chanting, you see. When we hear that, oh, it's prasadam time, okay, alright, beads, whatever, drop everything and go do what gives us satisfaction. But his chanting never stopped. So, all night long he chanted. So when the sun started to rise, she got up and she left. And this went on for 3 days. After which, finally at the dawn of the third night, she broke down and she started crying. And she revealed her devious intention and she took shelter at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. And he said, right from when you came, I knew what your intention was and who had sent you. But simply to deliver her, to give her the chance of changing her life. Haridas Thakur stayed in that place and did not become angry or upset or retaliate in any way. So she took initiation into the chanting of Hare Krishna, and Haridas Thakur left that place and she stayed in that place. He left, she stayed, and became a sadvi, a saintly person who would just dedicate her life to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Now, of course, Ramachandra Khan, we know, he took his unglorious demise because of offending Haridas Thakur and being so cruel and so vicious. Another time, Maya Devi herself, the illusory energy, appeared in order to test Haridas Thakur. Now, you don't have to imagine how she looked like, especially brahmacharis. Don't picture. It's just, it was a very, very extraordinary personality. And again, same scenario. And he was simply chanting Hare Krishna till after 3 nights, Maya Devi was very pleased, and she also took the holy name from Haridas Thakur, and she was very humble and submissive. So, a pure devotee who has taken full shelter of Krishna, he cannot be overcome by material energy. But we should never think ourselves to be invincible. They ask Srila Prabhupada, how come that you are never touched by Maya? He says, I'm always vigilant, I'm always afraid of Maya, and I'm always fully taking shelter of Krishna. I'm always taking shelter of Krishna. I'm praying to Krishna to please protect me from the material energy. So, Srila Prabhupada, being a Nitya Siddhi, a pure devotee, he has shown to us what is the proper way. He's the Acharya. Haridas Thakur, he was invited by Advaita Acharya to partake the Shraddha Patra. When the Shraddha ceremony is performed, then feast is offered to Brahmanas. And Advaita Acharya, who was in Shantipur, the most learned, the most respectable personality, he was the leader of the Brahmin community. He invited Haridas Thakur as the only person, no one else, to partake of that Shraddha Patra. And he sent a very important message to everybody with that. Now Haridas was very humble. He did not think, oh yes, thank you for calling me. No, he said, but you will become in difficulty, you will get into trouble, because are you not afraid that people will chastise you and criticize you for this fact? And Advaita Acharya said, by feeding you, I'm feeding more than millions of Brahmins. So he was very happy giving this honor to Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was one of the very intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. But because of his birth, he kept himself always separate. Not as a separatist, but because of his humility. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided in Jagannath Puri, Haridas Thakur did not want to be close to the temple, because there is always the pujaris and the intimate servants of the Lord, so he did not want to interfere with their seva. So he took residence in quite some distance, and he would just pay his obeisances, his respects, his dandavat pranam to the chakra. Now most of us, no, most of you can go into the temple, but those who are not of Indian birth, they cannot go to temple. So, but we can offer our respects to the chakra, and in this way we are offering our dandavats to Lord Jagannath. And of course, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Jagannath has come here to Melbourne, and he has come all over the world, because he's the Lord of the universe, so he's manifesting his pastime everywhere. But devotees should not think, oh, I have to go into the temple, it is my right. Because Haridas Thakur did not think like that. And we are following the Namacharya. So, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord Himself, every day He went to visit Haridas Thakur in his hut. And He would bring him Mahaprasad. And He would have katha with him. So, Haridas Thakur was very much in the heart of hearts of Lord Chaitanya. Now one day Govinda came to Haridas Thakur, was already quite old at that time. Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to the hut, the humble abode of Haridas Thakur, and he was lying down chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Govinda brought him some Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath. And Haridas Thakur said, I cannot take because I have not finished my rounds. He was chanting 192 rounds. He would not eat or drink anything before he had completed his vow of chanting. So that shows us we should finish at least 16 rounds before we take prasad. That should be our vow. So, and he said, but at the same time you're bringing Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath, so I cannot eat, but also I cannot refuse. So he took a tiny morsel and just paid his respects and just honored it. Like that. So we should never refuse Mahaprasad. As an act of arrogance. Oh, just look how renounced I am. No. If Krishna comes in the form of his Mahaprasad, we should always appreciate and honor, respect. So, Govinda gave report to Lord Chaitanya. The next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came and he saw Haridas Thakur lying down, chanting Hare Krishna. So he asked him, Haridas, how are you doing? And Haridas Thakur said, my body is very well, everything is perfectly fine, but my mind is not happy because I cannot finish my rounds. Lord Chaitanya told him, you're an old man, you don't have to chant so many rounds. Why don't you reduce your chanting? But he would have none of that. He would not engage in that sort of talk. So Haridas Thakur said, my dear Lord, I only have one desire. And Mahaprabhu said that whatever your wish is, my command, whatever your desire is, that let it be fulfilled. And Haridas Thakur said that I want to leave this world holding your lotus feet on my heart and glancing, having the darshan of your beautiful, golden, effulgent, magnificent smile. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very surprised and it affected him tremendously. But he could not refuse the desire of his pure devotee. So the next day, he came with all his associates and big kirtan party to Haridas Thakur's place. And again he asked Haridas, what is the news? How are you doing? And again Haridas Thakur said, because you are here, my Lord, everything is wonderful and is very auspicious. And simply by your presence, all the pious results, all these wonderful events are taking place. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his intimate associates perform kirtan. And they would perform their prem kirtan, where they would all, in loving devotion and ecstatic trance, chant and dance to the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Haridas Thakur, he was glancing, he was drinking the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deep with his eyes. And he was grabbing the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And in this way, while chanting Hare Krishna, he gave up this world and this mortal body. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was crying tears of ecstasy and separation. And he picked up the body of Haridas Thakur and he danced with it. And they all went together to the ocean and they bathed his body in the sea. And then they put Haridas Thakur in samadhi. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went to the shopkeepers in Puri, and personally he spread his cloth and he was begging Mahaprasad. He said, "Today is a very auspicious day. We are holding a festival in honor of Srila Haridas Thakur. So please give Mahaprasad, which can be distributed in his name, in his honor." So all the shopkeepers brought tremendous amounts of Mahaprasadam. But then Govinda and Kasishwar and the servants of Lord Chaitanya, they said, no, don't bring so much. Only a few handful of each preparation. So all that prasad was collected and it was brought, and all the devotees were fed sumptuously on Lord Jagannath's Mahaprasad while they were chanting the glories of Haridas Thakur. Srila Haridas Thakur ke! Hari Hari! Hari Hari! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare! Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare! So, Srila Haridas Thakur, today is his disappearance day. Please read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, the glories of Srila Haridas Thakur and the passing of Srila Haridas Thakur. It is very wonderfully depicted by Srila Prabhupada. And by praying to the lotus feet of Srila Haridas Thakur, let us submit ourselves humbly at his lotus feet and pray that we may also one day develop some taste for the chanting of Hare Krishna, and so we can spread the holy name of Krishna far and wide. Now, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the holy name of Krishna has become a household word all over the world. Formerly, there were so many editions of Bhagavad Gita, but they did not produce one devotee of Krishna. But because of Srila Prabhupada's coming and spreading the Hare Krishna movement, now Hare Krishna has become practically mainstream. People know it, that not only it exists, but they know that Hare Krishna is actually a quality, it's actually a brand. Hare Krishna has become an established factor in most parts of the world. Of course, there's some remote pockets which are still not so much explored, but for the most part, Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna movement has become a very well-established factor. So this is all by the causeless mercy and contribution of Srila Prabhupada. In the mid-90s, I was doing Govardhan Parikram in Vrindavan with His Holiness Danudar Maharaj and my dear friend and brother Harinamananda. And after Govardhan Parikrama, Maharaj told us that now to conclude this Govardhan Parikrama, I want you to have a very special darshan. So we were kind of curious, okay, what is he going to show us? So it was a little mysterious. So he took us to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and in the back of the Krishna Balaram guest house, on the ground floor, there's a guest room. And there he went with us, and we met with Buddhimanta Prabhu. Now, Shri Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu, he had a lot of association, and he knows a lot of stories about Buddhimanta. I will only tell these few stories because today is a very special day and we should pray to our predecessor acharyas to become empowered to chant and relish and serve the holy name and to distribute it far and wide. Buddhimanta was a very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada who had distributed many, many books. In fact, he was the one when they went to that gas station and they didn't pay with money, but they gave the gas station attendant Krishna book instead of paying. That was Buddhimanta. So he went out and pioneered this big book distribution. Formerly, it was just magazines and small books and newsletters, but then these big silver Krishna books came out. I don't know whether we have them here, but you can see them in Srila Prabhupada's rooms. These big, they're big Krishna books. Silver. And it has gold and red letters. And it says, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And devotees thought, this is impossible. We cannot sell these books. Because you can't say like, okay, you know, this is something else. I mean, it's Krishna and nothing but Krishna. It's like, it's kind of evident, right? Sometimes devotees are kind of like, okay, I want to cover this or say that. But this is just Krishna and nothing but Krishna. And they were costing, well, how much, $7 or $8? They were selling them for quite a substantial price. Now, in the early 70s, $7 or $8, that was money. That was considered quite a good sum of money. People were thinking, you know, in cents. Nowadays, nobody counts in cents. So, he went out, and in every day he sold not less than 6 to 10 Krishna books. Now, in those days, if you sold more than 10 Krishna books in a day, you would be number one of the world. So, he was dedicated to book distribution. In fact, he became so expert that he was sent around to many temples in North America and later on also Europe to train other devotees in the art of book distribution. And Prabhupada was very pleased by that. Srila Prabhupada, every day in the afternoon, he even came. Okay, he made it to Australia. Haribol. So, he went all over the world to teach devotees how to distribute Prabhupada's book. Srila Prabhupada every afternoon would hold darshan in his quarters. And he had open house. People would just come in and sit down and ask him questions. And for a few hours could just have the darshan of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was always available and he was always accessible. So in the same way, we should also try to be accessible and available to the people that we interact. So one time he was giving darshan, there was many people there talking with him, and Buddhimanta came back from book distribution. And he had just taken bath and he only put on dhoti. This was in Los Angeles. Probably it was quite warm. So he did not wear any shirt. So he just came in bare chested in dhoti and he paid his dandavat. And Prabhupada was very happy to see Buddhimanta. So he asked Buddhimanta, how is book distribution? And he told him the report from what was going on. Because that is our tradition. When Srila Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, they went door to door distributing the holy name of Krishna. They knocked on people's doors. And when people opened the door, they would say, Vaja Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shika. Chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow his instruction. Dedicate your life to Krishna. Now some of the people were very happy. And they said, oh, Thakur, please, come into my home. And they wanted to offer them food and worship and water. And they said, no, we're on mission. You know, we have to spread the holy name. And others would insult them and others would run and chase after them. But they would simply go on spreading the holy name. Haridas Thakur, sometimes he had these love fights, these mug fights with Lord Nityananda. And he said that he complained about his Sankirtan partner. Every evening they came to Lord Chaitanya and gave reports. Mahaprabhu wanted to know, how was your day? What was the events? And Haridas Thakur said that this fellow, he makes things very difficult. Sometimes he goes on the street, there is some young girl, and he goes up to her and says, I want to marry you. And she runs, she gets fearful and runs back to her parents. And then they run after me. And because Nityananda is a young man, he runs off and then I'm stuck with the trouble. Or he goes into the barn of the milkman and he just takes the milk from the cow. And then he leaves. And then the milkman becomes very angry and he chases me. So he was always having these love fights amongst themselves. So, Buddhimanta, he came into Prabhupada's quarters and Prabhupada asked him how is Sankirtan. So he gave his report and Prabhupada was very happy, he was very pleased. He stopped all talking and just was having this conversation with Buddhimanta. And then he told his servant to get a kurta, a shirt from his almira. And he gave that shirt to Buddhimanta. Now, we visited Buddhimanta and he was just in very bad shape, materially speaking. Because he had leukemia, cancer of the blood, and his consciousness was not very clear. Sometimes it was cloudy, sometimes it was more sharp. But when he spoke about Prabhupada, he was as clear and lucid as the brilliant midday sun. Now, not today, because I don't think it's going to be that clear of a day, but he was so lucid and so clear when he spoke about Srila Prabhupada. So he grabbed my hand and he looked at me and he was laughing like anything. And he was laughing and laughing and laughing. And then, obviously, we wanted to know why he's laughing so much. And he said, I was just distributing a few books and Prabhupada gave me his shirt. Now, you are distributing thousands of books. What would Srila Prabhupada give you? And he was laughing and laughing. Now, if you still, today, you want to get, who wants to get Srila Prabhupada's shirt? Srila Prabhupada's kurta. You want to get Prabhupada's kurta? You can still get Srila Prabhupada's kurta if you engage in Harinam Sankirtan and in Book Distribution. You can get his shirt today. In fact, today we have a little workshop on Sankirtan and Book Distribution and we'll go out at Swanson Street. So everybody is welcome to please participate. So, he was so ecstatic telling all these events about Prabhupada and we were just basking in his effulgence. Then we left. And many months later, when we were back in the West, we heard that Buddhimanta had left this world in Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Shyamasundar and Krishna Balaram, Shishi Gonitai and Srila Prabhupada. And he went back to the spiritual abode. And he left this world on Shivaratri. Do you remember which year it was? Mid-90s, somewhere 96, 97, like that, mid-90s. So, it was on Shivaratri. Later on, we found out about that. Now, Shivaratri is usually not in a time when we do marathon, but everybody remembered that on that particular day, we had our biggest day on book distribution of the whole year. People would just look at us, and they would just throw money at us. You know how that is sometimes? You go up to people and you say, hello, I got something for you. And they're like, yeah, I know, here, take. And they're just smiling and handing you more and more money. So it was magical. On that day I distributed by Prabhupada's mercy 255 Mahabig and Big Books, 2 Srimad Bhagavatam sets and 1 Chaitanya Charitamrita set. People were just throwing money at us. So, and later on we realized why. That was the case. It's because on that day, Buddhimanta, that dear devotee and disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who dedicated his life for preaching and book distribution, had left this world on that day. So Krishna said, okay, today, free for everybody. No excuses. There is no getting away. Even people who say no, they just start to smile and they just take it. So, that is the extraordinary mercy and potency of the Harinam Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just a few months ago, I was in Ukraine and I was taking a night train from Kiev to Donetsk. And you know, when you board a night train, there's some commotion, a lot of people with luggage, and there's always this thing going on. So, there was two very strong built persons who came towards me, and they had shaved heads and very strong necks and tight t-shirts, and they looked very kind of frightening. So one of them, he went up to me and he said, Krishna, which means, are you a Hare Krishna in Russian? And I was like, yes, how can I help you? And he was like, thank you for giving this knowledge to all the people here, to all the ignorant people of this country. And I'm like, oh, okay. You're very much welcome. Very much welcome. So, he was there with his friend and his mother and his wife and his little son. So, later on he came, they were in the compartment next to us. So later on he came out and he asked us questions about chanting. Should I chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, or should I chant in my mind, or should I chant on beads? He had all these questions, so we had a little japa workshop seminar in the train. And he bought more books and he gave us donation. And the next morning the devotee said we should give them prasadam. But I said, I don't have any prasadam, because if I travel on night train, why should I carry prasadam? But then I remembered the devotees in Kiev had given me this big bag of prasadam, Mahaprasadam. And I thought, why are they giving me Mahaprasadam? You know what they think? I'm going to sit on the night train up there in the compartment and I'm going to stuff my face all night with samosas and sweet balls. If somebody gives you prasadam, never refuse it. It may not be for you. It may be for somebody else. You're only the messenger. You're only the one who carries the prasadam. Okay? So never refuse prasadam. So I remembered we have this prasadam. So I went over to the other compartment and they had just gotten up. And on their table was some bottles of beer and vodka and some unmentionable foodstuffs. And then I came and I brought samosas and sweet balls. And they went like, wow, what is this? Whoa. And everybody was like, hey, good morning. It's like the sun and the moon had appeared. And so they were very happy to get the prasadam. And then we arrived in Donetsk. Now this was in late April this year. And we got off the train. And nobody was there to pick us up. You know, the usual Hare Krishna scenario. The devotees are a little transcendental, you know. Oh, sorry, we went to a different airport, you know. So, and it was raining. And it was cold. It was freezing. It was about 6 or 7 degrees cold. But you know, when you come from India, 6 or 7 degrees, it doesn't sound like very cold, but it's really cold. Especially if you come from Vrindavan, right? Where it's like really warm or hot. So, but I thought, okay, you know, Krishna wants to make us a little humble. So, all right. So you just wait and you chant Hare Krishna. And after 5 minutes, the devotees came running, you know. And you don't want to ask what happened, but they gave me this big garland. And just at that moment, I turn around and I see that the family is getting off the train. And the grandmother is holding the 5-year-old boy on her shoulder and carrying him. So I took that big garland that they'd given to me and I put it on the little kid. And he was like, wow! You know, and he was like, ooh, he felt like the prince of the train station. And the grandmother became ecstatic and the whole family became blissful. That same evening, that man, he came to the temple and he participated in a full evening program. We had Gora Artik, then I gave a 2-hour seminar, then we had prasadam, then he bought books, and then he said, now my family is convinced about Krishna consciousness. Now it's important that we give people Prabhupada's books, but it's not enough. It's important that we give people prasadam, but it's not enough. It's important that we teach people how to chant Hare Krishna, but it's not enough. We have to go the extra mile, go out of our ways to be available and to be accessible to people so they can learn the lifestyle of a devotee and they can be engaged in direct devotional service and have the association of devotees so they can actually change their lives. Now this person was not, materially speaking, a very sophisticated or a very educated person. He was a truck driver. But he was very, very much touched by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to distribute this Krishna consciousness movement far and wide. And for that, he chose, as the primary teacher, Srila Haridas Thakur, to establish the fact, once and for all, that your material background, your birth, your educational background, your social status is not what counts. But it is your purity of heart and your sincerity of purpose, your sincerity of desire to share Krishna's holy name with the world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Book from Anandi. Comments.